Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Life on Air Show, where we help you live the life, your vision life, based on whatever is important to you. So listen, today, guess what? Vojo's not here. I'm excited because I can do whatever I want with this particular podcast, and he can't do anything about it. And we're just having fun, and it's going to be an awesome episode. So today, I brought all of the coaches from, not all of them, because few of them couldn't make it, but majority of the coaches from Life on Air to share powerful success stories from their students. And what I mean by that is I want you, the listener, to kind of look from the perspective, like, I wonder what was the reason for their success, for that student's success. So we're going to talk to each one of the coaches. I'm going to ask him a few questions. But I really want you guys to see from the perspective, whether it's a family, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a business, whether it's a health, whatever it might be, what was the reason for their success? So I want you to take something from that episode and incorporate it into your own life, take an action. So without further ado, let's just go through it. And hey, Garcia, why don't you go first? Who are you, man? Just give me, Garcia, and tell me about the success story.
Perfect. Well, my name is Dave Garcia. Everybody in Life and Air calls me Garcia. I've been in Life and Air for over 15 years, been coaching about 8. And one of the success stories that that comes to mind really just kind of came back to light for me in the last couple of months. So I have a student that when joining Life and Air, he was what you most of us would consider fairly successful, had a good business, had decent passive income, and found himself, he joined Life and Air because he had no life. Right. And he was just working way more hours than what he wanted to be working. And through coaching, through, some like full days, I was able to show him that if we just moved a few pieces around within his business and how he was structured, he actually had more than enough. And it was one of those scenarios where sometimes you're too close to the situation that you really don't see it. Mm-hmm. It was almost like I could see a light go on in his mind. And he took massive action. And in a very short time, he went full force, stage four, what we call stage four, and started really living life. Sold one of his businesses, restructured some of his portfolio, started lending more, creating true passive income. And he was still doing, or originally doing some of that, but just not enough. And the reason I feel like this is such a success story is that he got to live probably 3 or 4 years like that. And then, unfortunately his wife became sick and passed away, and he actually mentioned to me that, Garcia, I want to thank you and Life and Air for giving me an opportunity to spend some really good quality years together with his wife. And as coaches, we know what we do is important, it's impactful, and it changes lives. But I got to see how that changed somebody's life, if that makes sense. And so it's a little bit sad, this success story, but the success in this is that he found Life and Air, he took action on his vision and lived his vision. Vacations and time, just quality time together with his family. And to me, that's what this is about. It's not about the money, it's about having that time together with the ones we love, because we can always make money, we can't make more time.
Right. So sounds to me like what you're saying is that when he came into Life on Air, his focus is more on business, make money, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
He was doing it, and then what you helped him see is what does life look like, right? To focus more on life, and how does this business, how we restructure the chess pieces on this board to be able to go fully support that life, right? So yeah, then exactly. He was able to actually spend the time with his wife. Unfortunately, what happened, but he was able to actually stay with it. So listen, if you were to tell me one thing that he did that helped him shift that thinking or shift those pieces or whatever it might be, besides Garcia being his coach? I don't know. Despite the Garcia being his coach, I think, right?
Yeah.
But listen, so what do you think was the one thing that helped him do that?
Yeah, I honestly, I think that, you know, by going to the Get a Life and, you know, creating his vision, working with me to dive into the vision and really, you know, solidify, put emotions with and behind it. I think that was probably a really big portion of it. He wanted it. I don't think that he realized that he could have it, if that makes sense. So many times, you know, we feel like, oh, we got to have more. We got to have more. If I can just get a little bit more, then I can take it easy. And, you know, and so by using his vision and what he was already doing, was able to show him like, hey, you've already won the game. We just have to three more moves and, you know, it's over.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, I can almost remember that day where, you know, the light switch came on and he's like, wow, you're right. I don't need to keep grinding. You know, I do have enough. And if you called him today, I think he would tell you he makes more money now after not grinding than, you know, and I've seen it. We've all seen it so many times. Yeah. You know, it's almost like when you stop trying to make the money just comes flowing into you because you've already set the stage. You've already done, you know, it's on rinse and repeat. Right.
Yeah.
You're not recreating this. It's just maintaining it and truly letting the money work for you. And, you know, so yeah, I think the vision though, to answer your question, is probably the number one thing that he did that made the biggest impact on getting to where, you know, where he was able to live that lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about the podcast all the time about the vision. That's how we talk about it. Vision is that guiding light. You guys got to write this down, write that vision, put it on there. And what he also, the other thing I heard is like, he got to a point where he saw enough. There is never going to be enough. So I'm going to shift my thinking to what's really important. And that's my family. Dude, thanks for sharing, man. I appreciate that. And I keep on rocking with the students, man, despite being Garcia. All right. So let's move on to the next one. Ken Holmes, man.
Yes, sir.
Dude, you used to be my coach way back in the day. You know, so we have some relationship, but, you know, talk to me, man. Tell me about your student.
Yeah, well, I'm Ken Holmes. I live in Greenville, South Carolina. I've been in Life and Air almost since its inception as a student and later as a coach. And both sides of that have been very, very important to my growth as far as how I live my life and how much, honestly, I enjoy my life. Being in a group, learning the Life and Air process and implementing it into my life and my business has been very important to me. And the joy of watching others in our groups and our retreats come in and make changes in their lives is really, it's just one of the best things in my life. I truly, truly enjoy the coaching process and the Life and Air message itself. I've been thinking of, since you brought this up, of a certain student that I had that came in, it's in a rental property business, renting houses, buying little houses, fixing them up, renting them, refinancing, that whole game. And really, really working hard. And one of the hardest things with this particular student was the mindset change in that he, like many of us, were brought up thinking that I must work hard and grind to win. And the idea that you could win without working 60 hours a week and taking care of everything yourself was very difficult for him. And we in the room, beat on him retreat after retreat that you don't have to go show all your houses yourself. There is a way you can systemize this. Having a person who works for you is not an expense. It's actually an asset that you can leverage to grow your business. These basic truths that a lot of us get, it were just hard for him. To him, it was like, I don't want to spend any money on anything. I want to do everything myself. I'm the only one that can possibly do these things the way we want to do. And so the reason for his success was ultimately being willing to listen to everybody and say, you know what, I need to bar the belief in the room. I need to forget what I was taught my whole life. I need to trust the process. I'm paying money to be coached. I need to be coachable. So I remember the moment like it was yesterday where he basically went, okay, I'll go home and try it. I give up. And it changed everything. And not that we're that smart, but just to try something different and to be open to new ideas and to not let the beliefs that you were brought up with your family and your church and your dad and whoever have you believing that maybe there's another way. Maybe so. I attribute his success to ultimately being coachable and being willing to go and try some things. And he really put his life in a better situation, the way they live now compared to the way they were living, and how happy he is and how much time he spent with his boys and how happy his wife is and everything. It's just, it's heartening to see. But it took, obviously he was a very hard worker. So it took a mindset shift and a new set of beliefs to get him to where he wanted to be.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you sharing this because if you didn't say, you know, certain things in there that you talked about what he was doing, I would think that you were talking about me, because when I came in life on there, it was like so many people, I got to do it myself. I got to work hard because when I heard I'm going to win kind of a thing. And that's a false set of beliefs. And so one thing that I heard from your conversation as you were sharing about this particular student is the coachability. There's, as a coach, I love when, not love, but I think when someone, a student comes to me and say, you know what, I give up. You tell me, you know, finally, it's like they're giving up that old way of thinking, you know what I mean? Old way of doing. And when they finally start to listen and being coachable and borrowing the belief from the room, and sometimes that helps to start it off, all of a sudden they see changes happening in their life. So one thing that I'm hearing from you is for him, it was really important to just finally like let go of his old life kind of a thing, what he was taught in and growing up, and start borrowing the belief system from the room, what people were doing. And that's why the wheel started turning a different direction. So cool, man. Anything else on that guy?
No, that was, like I said, it's just, I think you put it well. He finally changed one day. And that was not month one. That was not month 11. But eventually he just got sick of it and said, I'm going to try what you say. I don't think it will miss, you know, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to go do what you say. It was almost like he set out to prove us wrong. And he changed everything and it wound up working. And you pointed out when talking with Garcia that it's easy for 15, 20 people in a room to see what's wrong with your business because it's not their stuff.
Yeah.
And generally when 15, 20 people in the room say this, and you're the only one that says the other, and it's your stuff, you're generally wrong. But it takes a while, some people, to be ready to actually make the change. And the change is really what's in their head, not in their business.
Yeah, I love that, man. One thing I would encourage you, the one listening, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, maybe there's something that needs to be done. I'm done. Let's consider there is a different set of beliefs that I need to take on. And by the way, if in order for you to figure out what those new set of beliefs need to be, you need to figure out what your old ones are. And I think that's what happens a lot of times in retreats. Those beliefs get opened up from like that, you know, blind spot kind of a thing. So cool, man. I appreciate you sharing this, Ken. Cool, man. Awesome. Let's move on to the next one. Kathy. Talk to us about your student. I think you're pretty well known in the community here. So maybe two sentences about who you are and then talk about your student.
Yep. So I'm Kathy Neubauer. I live in Crown Point, Indiana. I've been in Life and Air since 2014. I've been coaching since 2016. So 10 years. This is my anniversary year. It's been such a joy to watch people grow emotionally, professionally, spiritually. Like, this has just been the greatest opportunity. But this one particular couple that I'm so happy and proud of, she came to a Get a Life with her husband and their kids, two of their girls, and joined Life and Air without even speaking to her husband. And he was not too happy about that, but she came, our first introductory call, she basically was indicating that she thought they were going to get a divorce, that she was going to work to grow a real estate business, and she doesn't know really what she's looking for in her vision, because it was hard to put down what she wanted when it felt like things were falling apart at home. And that first conversation, you know, sometimes I think students are a divine connection, because that first conversation, we connected on a lot from a relational perspective. And I told her a bit of my story. And that's what I love about coaching, is because you can mentor from your story too. Mm-hmm. And I shared a little bit about my story. And the biggest point of that is when I was going through my relationship breakup, that I had to get, in order to get through it and get past the bitterness, which took me 16 years. It didn't happen until I met Life and Air.
That's it, right?
Right. I was living as somewhat of a victim, and that's where she was at. And I didn't realize that I was doing that to myself. I was blaming my ex for everything, and that's what she was doing with her husband, and blaming him for everything, the bad marriage. He was working away from home 5 days a week, and a lot of difficult things had happened in her marriage. And she's like, there's just no more hope. There's just no more hope. And she said she was a Christian, and she battled with that. And so what we got talking about is really where she was in her thoughts, right? We really started working of what did you want your marriage to look like? What did it look like in the beginning? What does it look like now? And we discovered that there was some stuff that when she was growing up, she never felt like she mattered, right? She had to be the pleaser. She never got the love she wanted from her family. So she had this idealistic idea of what marriage should look like. And so as soon as she realized that her partner was not perfect, it started to fade, right? It started to crumble and have resentment, because he couldn't fill the void that she was needing. And once we started to investigate that, it was like a light bulb came on for her, that she had no idea that that's what she was trying to fill. And so we just started working on what she could do to be a better person. And he was not doing calls. He was not joint. He did not come to the retreats. Like, he was mad at her. And they were not communicating well. They were fighting a lot. She was also taking it on her kids, because she was bitter. And she started to discover that so much of her thoughts were about she was unlovable, or nobody really respected her, or why won't people just do what I say and things would be better. And as we started to shift her belief system, to have her take responsibility and ownership of who she can become, everybody started noticing, and her husband started noticing. And then he got willing to join the call with us. And now it's just been so amazing. They are happier than they ever been, even before they got married, and they are flirting with each other again. And he discovered why he was a pleaser, and everything he tried was never enough. And so as he discovered that he was doing that, and what she was discovering is that she was expecting him to be this perfect knight in shining armor, it wasn't about business, it wasn't about money. It was just about these visions that they had that were kind of broken visions from damaged histories, right?
Yeah.
And so they really started hearing each other and listening to each other. And now they have deep conversations where they can express their feelings, where before it wasn't safe. And they just can't stop talking about where they were, and they're telling everybody about it now. And they want to start to help people in their church related to their relationships, because we don't know what we don't know. And when we're only pointing fingers, it seems like that is the answer, right? It's somebody else's fault. When we start to look inside and see what we can do to become the best we can become, now they're doing their business together. They're doing their rehab together. He still works a job away from home, but they're excited to come back together. And I talked to their teenage girls, and they're like, oh my gosh, it's so embarrassing. They're flirting with each other in front of us.
Yeah. So listen, one thing I'm hearing from you, Kathy, I love this particular story, because what I'm hearing is like, think about it this way. She had a perfect picture guy kind of a thing growing up. And there was coming from the brokenness of what she wasn't enough. And she wanted to find that guy, so that guy who's perfect will finally love her. Right. Because nobody else kind of would. And then comes the disappointment. Right. And then just she's trying to now, you know, back then kind of, I don't know, whether change him or whatever it might be, to be able to go and live that. And now ultimately, after long periods of time of doing it, it can't do it anymore and becomes a victim. So now that's kind of a conversation that's going on in her head. And now she comes in, has conversations with you, and recognizes there is a victim mentality. Starts shifting her thinking, her way of being, who she is. So that's the big aha moment for her. And now guess what? The whole life starts shifting around her. The husband is shifting. The kids are shifting. Everybody's shifting. And by the way, I said shifting. You're going to be listening to this, okay? So, but guess what? What ends up happening is we are constantly being certain way. And what I love about Kathy is she was able to help her uncover and how she was being. And shift that way of thinking. So did I get it right?
Yeah, you got it right. And then he did the same thing.
Yeah, ultimately, right? Yeah. Because she gave him a space too, not to give him excuses, right? But, you know, the people pleaser in him was trying to be everything.
Yeah.
And he was never being himself.
And so he started avoiding, right? Yeah. So she lived in constant anger and frustration and bitterness, and he avoided.
Yeah.
And I think that Scott and Shannon, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, feel free, because we coach together. So,
do you guys have anything else about this particular student? Or what do you guys see, if you don't know anything about the student, what do you guys see? It's the common denominator a lot of times for a lot of these students when they have these epiphanies, they have these breakthroughs or whatever it might be.
I just think it helps in their growth, because now what they've done is they've created this foundation for themselves, and you can't build something unless you have a strong foundation. So once the relationship is strong, everything becomes a lot easier, because now you're communicating well together. You're having the same goals and achieving things. So now you can work together faster to get to where you want to be. And it's a really, it's a much happier way to go through life with your partner that way than to always be butting heads with them and not getting to the levels that you want to achieve.
Yeah, I find that interesting, man. When people come into life on there, they, let's say, come in to fix their business. And then for some strange reason, what ends up happening, you look at the relationship and we shift that, quote unquote, fix that relationship. All of a sudden, the business starts working better, right?
Right.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. The foundation that you're talking about, I think it's really important.
Hey, we'll get right back to our episode, but before we do, I want to tell you about something that will change your life when you choose to attend. And what I'm referring to is our Get a Life Getaway. This is a 3-day immersive training that Peter and I teach, and we walk you through the blueprint of how to create the detailed plan for the life you've always dreamed about. Peter, tell them what the event's like.
Yeah, so it is very personalized to you. You get to work on your own life. You let go of all the past hurts, and you actually get to create your life vision, create the life that you truly want. So how would they go about doing that, Bojo?
Dude, go to lifeinair.com, and you will see a tab for upcoming events. Click on the link. You'll read a description of the event, and then we will see you at the event itself. We do these all over the country. We do several per year, also virtually as well. And we would love to be there and walk you through this process to help you create the dream life you've always wanted. Let's get back to the episode.
Yeah. So yeah, how about you, Shannon? What do you have?
Yeah, I was just going to add, just being aware of our own personalities, sometimes not understanding who we are and why we are acting in a way we are, that right there, I mean, we've talked about it a lot with everybody else sharing, is the shift that happens. And once we understand internally where it's coming from, we can stop that repeat type thing that happens. And so now we can change it. We understand it a little bit better, and we're not on the defense.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think victim mentality, there's a lot of defense in there kind of a thing, right? So it shifts. One thing I keep saying this all the time, and I will love what three of you guys basically came in here and said, is we're always way of being. How are we being as human beings? I want you to recognize that for yourself, those of you listening, because it may very well be that who you are being right now is not who you truly are, right? So discovering that real person in there is going to help you tremendously. Because especially the thing about in marriages, for long periods of time, been married for a long time, we go through these phases and we end up, and one day we wake up and you're like, who the heck am I? Who is this other person, right? So I think that's what needs to be figured out, and you were able to help there in this particular situation. So I love that, Kathy. Anything last words?
Yeah, I just want to say that when you really investigate your internal self, when you really look at yourself and see why is something bothering you, what is causing that to happen, and you start to discover the truth and the facts underneath some of that, it's only then that you can identify how to make it better, right? Yeah. And so once you make it better, you start to have compassion and empathy for everyone around you, because you see they have the same kind of things going on. Right. And I think that's the beauty in these kind of discoveries, because we espouse to want so much related to our families, and that we are doing everything for our family, yet we don't really know how to treat our family. Right. We don't take the time to say, what is it that they really need? And by doing some of that discovery work, you can find out what they need. You can figure out what you need. And then the rest of it is just the icing on the cake. Right. Yeah. Income and the funds and all of that is the icing on the cake, because once you're whole as a unit, everything feels easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You know, I think sometimes we don't know how to love ourselves. How are we going to love other people? You know what I mean? So I always start here internally kind of thing. So, and I love that work that you do, Kathy, because I think you help people see that for themselves. So cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing, guys. Let's bring on to the next couple, power couple here. Tim and Susie, let's see what you guys have.
All right. Well, I'll share a story of some current folks we have who joined just last May. And May was their anniversary. So whenever anybody joins, you know, one of the first things we want to do with them is spend a day with them in person. Mm-hmm. We scheduled a one-on-one day. By the way, these folks are in their early 60s, which is another cool thing about life in there. We have people in our group from their mid-20s, and the oldest people in our group are their early 70s. So we have everybody in between. So it's like a big family. So for those of you who have never experienced such a thing, wow, you're missing it. So anyway, we did their one-on-one day last June, and they met in person at my office. And Susie piped in on the Zoom call, because she is in Chicago and I'm in Nashville. But anyway, they're a successful couple. He owned a company, an accounting firm. And one thing about most people in their early 60s, they're downsizing. They're selling a big house and getting to a smaller place. They did exactly the opposite. They sold their small place and moved into a big house because they got a huge family. And plus, they do a home church, so they wanted to have a big house to entertain and, you know, sponsor their home church. So they moved into a big house. One of the things they were concerned about at their one day was the fact that they had this big mortgage now that they never had before. And now they are getting close to retirement, and they just took out a big mortgage on this house. And that was one of the things that's bothering them. But at the end of the day, we spent our day together, and we gave them some ideas of things they could do to, you know. One of the things, obviously, was to create a written vision. The lady actually got mad at me for suggesting that she could change her mindset and things in her life would change as a result. she actually got pissed off at me. So
that never happens, by the way.
So anyway, Anyway, they left that day, and on the way home, they started thinking about, well, what could we put on our vision? And one of the things we told them, don't worry about the how right now. Just worry about what you want. So one of the things they wrote on their vision, they want to have their house paid off. Well, I can't remember, Susie, how many years it was before they paid it off. But anyway, to make a long story short, they just paid off their house.
Wow.
In 1 year, that they didn't even have a clue how they would ever go about it. So, you know, a lot of it, I think, is, you know, good coaching, obviously. But they were very good.
Oh, Susie. It was all Susie, right?
Yeah. Well, I've been in Life and Air for 8 years, and I've been a coach for about four, and I've spent the first couple of years as a solo coach, but I was missing half of everything I needed. I'm the guy who, you know, would tell you to suck it up, buttercup, and Susie's the kind of person who would go back into your, you know, past and try to figure out what's making you tick like this. So between the two of us, we got it pretty much covered now. So we make a good team.
Well, listen, so what do you think was the reason why they were able to pay off that house in a year?
Well, a couple of things. One of them, they had two vacant lots that they had bought years and years ago with the intention of someday they're going to build their house on there. But they ended up buying this big house, so they didn't need it anymore, but they were just sitting on it. It was doing nothing. And it had the potential to actually be subdivided into three different lots. So one of the first things we told them, well, that's just sitting there. It's a big asset that's not doing you any good. So just get rid of it. Either get rid of it or do something with it yourself. So they finally sold that just a couple months ago, and that was a big chunk of their payoff. They had another property. Fill me in, Susie, if I'm missing something. They had another property they had owner financed to a tenant that paid off recently. And I can't remember exactly how the other came about. But one of the things, you know, he wanted to actually, you know, start thinking about retiring from his company. So we had him. One of the things we suggested was to raise his prices. And so he did, and he lost 20% of his clients as a result, but he's making just as much money now as he did before because he's got better clients. And now he's in talks with two different companies locally to buy him out when he's ready to retire in about another year. So it's just amazing how far they've come in just 1 year. And the whole thing about attitude, man, she is completely flipped 180. She is a mindset guru now. So
yeah, awesome. I would just echo what you're saying, Tim. Like, I think the biggest shift for them was really that mindset, being open, being coachable, and being able to go ahead and take that action towards their vision, I think has made a world of difference for them. They were feeling like, you know, I think he has a pretty good mindset and attitude in general, but she definitely, yeah. In addition to you ticking her off, I think she really got offended by what I had to say as well about the mindset, and she could not wrap her head around how you can just think positively and things can change. But I think that's really where the big shift was. They moved from thinking about the things that had gone wrong in their life, because they're in a couple of syndication deals that are not going well and those types of things. So there were some things that I think they were, at least she, I think, was focused a little bit more of her negative energy around. And I think as soon as she started shifting and thinking about the positive things that were going on in her life and not thinking about everything in a negative life, I think that's when the shift really started happening in their lives. And that's all the way from everything that Tim's already mentioned to, you know, she suffers from a pretty significant back injury. And even that has turned around. It's obviously still there, but she's realized how her mindset has played into that issue a lot more than the injury itself. And so now she's able to see, okay, if I just shift my mindset and I make small, achievable goals, I can start making the progress towards the things that that I want for my life. I want to be able to pick up my grandchildren and not be scared that I'm going to hurt my back. I want to be able to take walks with my husband and, you know, and feel like we're connected because we're out and able to do these things. And yeah, I mean, just such a great success story all the way around and really, really, embedded in all of that mindset work that they've done.
Yeah. So listen, from you, two of you guys, what I'm hearing, a few things. One I'm hearing is that they went from thinking what I can have to thinking what I can have, from can't yes. to can't, right? So this is from the lack to what, you know, can be possible. The other thing that I'm hearing is that they had to, in their mind, shift the thinking that what's impossible can be possible. I mean, I can only imagine sitting there and these two new coaches and you don't know anything about them and they're telling you like, hey, well, could you pay off this house? And I just got the mortgage and I don't know how long they had the mortgage at that particular time. They probably had another 20 years on the mortgage or whatever it might be. And I'm like, how am I going to pay probably. That off? What's that?
More like 38 or 39 years.
Yeah. So if they're in their 60s, they're paying this house still like they're 90, right?
Yep.
So they're literally going to be in this handicap for rest of their life. So now looking from what can be, what's the impossible, right? And actually be able to go and put themselves in it and start thinking outside the box. Step back and allow other people who have some success, who know what they're talking about, to pour into them. Because I think a lot of times what's important for people to be able to do is listen to people who have success. I think we listen to a lot of people who are not successful in our lives. And then when we someone who's actually really successful, who's been there, done that, and tries to pour into you, we kind of put a block on it because that didn't work before. So they had to let go of some of that and be able to listen to what you guys are providing for her and then step outside the box and sell those lots and boom, things started shifting. Cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
don't just listen to people who have had success. Listen to people who've had failures. That's the people I want to listen to who have come through those failures.
Yes.
And I think all the coaches here fit that description.
Bingo. I think, right, I'm glad that you brought that up. Yes, that's important. You know what I mean? So, all right, because think about it this way. I don't think I know anybody in life that unless they are not doing anything, they have to be not doing anything not to have a failure.
Yeah.
Right? So pretty much everybody's going to have some failures, right? So listen from those lessons, I think it's really, really, really important. Okay, so we got, I think, one more, if I'm not mistaken. Jackie?
I'm here.
Save the best for last.
Sure.
What do you got for me, woman?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. So my name is Jackie Conkle, and I live in Freedom, Wisconsin.
No way. Your name, your city's Freedom?
Yeah, I moved here because I wanted to say I live in freedom literally and figuratively. So here I am. I am a co-coach with my husband and with Steve Halverson, both of whom did not make the call today, but they're living their life. And my husband and I actually started as members of Life and Air in 2009 in the first coaching group. And we have been coaches since 2019. So we finally accepted some coaching position back in 2019 and really, really loving it. So the thing I love the most about Life and Air is that it's life and it's not just business. And so we have that opportunity to help people with, you know, finances, with business, with structure, with overwork, with not enough time, with their relationships, with their spiritual and charitable and just all the different areas of life. And so I think that's really important. We have one member that came to us, I think it's been 5 years now. And in the last year, like things have really massively blossomed. But when he first came in, he showed up to his first retreat in a three-piece suit with three phones. And they all rang at different times and he had to keep stepping out of the room and answering the phone and doing all this stuff. And he was in some of these other big like mastermind groups too that cost tens of thousands of dollars a year, you know, rising to the top of being a somebody, always trying to compete with the everybody's in the room and see if he could be a bigger somebody than them. And it was wearing him down. I mean, he was running businesses, he was running you know, he's an agent and a brokerage, a family brokerage, and just doing all the things. And we sat down with him and we're like, man, I'm exhausted just watching you. You know, you kept leaving the room, which we don't allow, kept coming late back to the retreat. And it was just like, Whoa. And so by retreat two, he was down to two phones. They were both on silent and he was wearing comfortable clothes because, guys, we're a casual group, right? Yeah. We don't need to come so dressed up when we're working on our life. And so, like, things have progressed. He's paid off a ton of debt. He's realized that being a big, important somebody is exhausting and he doesn't really want that. It's what he thought he wanted because the world says that's what you should do. So kind of just echoing some of the things in some of the other stories already, right? Like, we're just taught to work, put your nose to the grindstone and get as big as you can and have more and more and more, like Ken was saying. You know, and sometimes more is just more. It's not better. I should say every time. I think every time. More is just more. It's really never better. It's just more. And having more is more headaches. It's more responsibility. It's more time out of life that you want to do other things. And so when he got really, really bulleted with his vision, when he rewrote it and sat down and discovered exactly what do I want, he started to really pare down and we could just see him become calmer. Health became a really big goal for him. He lost weight. He got strong. He ate better. He drank more water. He went to the gym. He started hanging out with people who supported who he wants to become and not who he was becoming. For a long time, we were all encouraging him, you know, because he said one day he wants to be married and have kids. And we're like watching the age go by and we're like, dude, like you need to start working on that. And past traumas, past dramas, he wasn't ready for that. We respected that, but we still kept just sort of whispering in his ear and encouraged him at one point, you know, when he said, I think I'm ready, encouraged him to get some counseling and kind of work through those past traumas and dramas of like, why am I afraid to move forward? And then we were able to encourage him when he's like, okay, I think I might be ready. We encouraged him to write a vision for the girl he wanted to marry. And so now it's the vision for the girl. And the next step is, as all of us coaches know, is all right, who do I need to become to attract that girl that I want? And so he worked on both in tandem and very quickly. I mean, very quickly, he found the girl. Like, she's perfect. She's everything on his list. And watching him become more and more of who he needs to be, he's very cognizant of how much he's working. He's very cognizant of making her the focus when she's there and not the phone or the emergency, the urgent, important, you know, whatever square. And it's really been amazing to watch. So in January, our retreat of this year, he was really describing like what this relationship is looking like and, you know, marriage talk and everything else. In our May retreat, they're engaged and he brings her to the retreat and she's just awesome. Wow. And so later this year, they'll be married and they're just working through like all the things they need to work through to make sure that they're perfectly paired and that their visions are aligned and their ethics and their goals and who they are and who they're going to be and what their family is going to look like. Like, they're doing all the things that a lot of people really skip in building that relationship prior to marriage. And just imagining back to that very first guy that walked into that first retreat.
Yeah.
And then fast forwarding to the guy we just saw in this last retreat is just completely different. And it's because he's very coachable. He was making some decisions without checking in. And every one of those decisions that he made, well, everyone that he told us about that he made without calling us, he's like, oh, I wish I would have called because now I just put myself backwards. He's like, I shouldn't have done that, but I did it, you know, without having a conversation about it and working through it, you know, with my coaches or with my group or my accountability group. And so now he's very cognizant of calling and in setting up times to just go through decisions he's going to make. And he really thinks through every single thing, like what, not just what does it mean today, but what will it impact? What do I give up for each decision I move forward with? And what do I gain? So I think coachability is a really big point, and those visions are important.
Yeah,
the whole group as a whole pouring into somebody.
Yeah, I think, you know, those three pieces that you mentioned, you know, coachability, having that vision, clear vision, what you want your life to look like, and having people around you to support you, to kind of pour into you, those kinds of things. But one thing that I also heard from you at the beginning of the conversation, what changed for him is before he was going after a life that the world wanted him to be. And he finally was able to discover what the life is that he wants to and have that permission to actually do that. And I think a lot of us in, you know, when listening to the podcast, like, ask yourself, am I going after the life that the world wants me to be? Is it about keeping up with the Joneses or whatever it might be? Or is it about what I truly want? And put that on the paper, write that in the vision. And I think that's a huge difference for him in his particular situation. Anything
else? I think that's the top thing we always need to ask, right? And I mean, my group knows if you say should, I'm going to stop you. And I say, should you? You know, because whenever I feel like whenever we use the word should or even shouldn't or whatever, a lot of times it's something that the world or someone else put on us. And it's not something that we actually want or have thought about ourselves. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it's just a word, but a lot of times they'll catch people when they're like, oh, I should be doing this, or I should have done that. Or I'm like, should you have? Should you be? You know, no, not really. Like, do you really want that? Oh, you're right. You know, and so sometimes catching those words, should, shouldn't, always, and never. Those are the flag words that as a coach, we like to stop and say, always, is that true? You know, never. Especially in arguments, when in a relationship, you know, when you get two of them in a room and they're like, well, you always do that. And it's like, always? Are you sure? You know, and should? Who's telling you that? And so it's sometimes, even for ourselves, it's fun to catch ourselves and just put that question out there. Because every time you do that, you're just sort of streamlining where you really do want life. And it's crazy how much the world and our families and our friends really do put on us that we just don't want any part of. And it helps you to shift and go in a different direction, or even just a little bit of, you know, maybe a 10 degree change. So anyways, I just thought, like, just thinking of him all the way from the beginning to now has been kind of the poster child for what Life in Air is all about in all areas of life.
Very cool. Very cool. I love that. I love that what you mentioned at the end, because I think when you do this, you start questioning that. You're literally interrupting your belief system and the wiring that's in there, because when you start questioning, is it really true? Should I? Is it never really? You start to interrupt that pattern that we've been growing over the years and years and years. So thank you for sharing that, Jackie. I think you guys are rocking it out over there, and you're an amazing coach, all of you guys. So listen, we're going to wrap up this particular podcast. Hopefully you got some really good information on this particular podcast. But listen, I don't know if you guys can see it. I brought all the coaches into the room again, because I just want to acknowledge all of you guys. You guys are rocking things out. You're fighting for other people. And I think being a coach myself, I know what it takes a lot of times to be able to go and step up and be there for somebody else. So from the bottom of my heart, I want to acknowledge every single one of you guys for doing that for people, because it is so powerful. And we need someone in our life to fight for us. So thank you, guys. Keep on rocking. Keep bringing those success stories, and we'll bring you back next time on some next episode and see if we can come up with some more stories. I'm sure we can. All right. I'll see you guys on the next episode.